This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Don Davenport of the SEC Network, ESPN, and our sister station up in Nashville, 104.5 The Zone, joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. All right, Don, I've given my opinion on this situation as far as sort of how this thing played out, but could you just share with us the timeline of you waking up Saturday morning thinking that you are going to be working the sideline for Clemson at Florida State and how things played out from there?
Yes. Hold on. I didn't get to hear your opinion. Can you give it to me in a nutshell?
The nutshell of my opinion is basically just that, number one, I'm disappointed that in a lot of instances in college football, we've come to this blame game, finger pointing of who can play, why they can't play, that they think they're ducking us or not ducking us, whatever that is. But then essentially Dabo's rant and crying and pitching a fit on a podium when it was his guy that tested positive, and they were the ones that had the warning signs that they chose not to avoid during the week and still put the kid on a trip. And tell me that you put him in the back of a plane, in the back of a bus, in the same hotel doesn't make me feel a whole lot better about you having a kid that just tested positive with COVID inside your football program.
Gotcha. Okay, that's a good take. Do you know what else? Can I just add that? I'll go back to the timeline in a second. But are you not shocked that a Clemson football program that has a player that, you know, allegedly had symptoms all week allowed him to be around their team after they just lost their starting quarterback Heisman contender for two games because of a positive COVID test? I was shocked by those reports, because if I'm Clemson, if I'm anybody on that medical staff, I'm like, oh wait, oh, you, I'm sorry, you have a runny nose? Yeah, I'm going to need you to go quarantine it just for a little bit, because I'm not taking a chance at this point in the season, with important games coming up. So that surprised me that there was prior symptoms and nothing was done about it. So anyway, but let me give you the timeline here. So I wake up ready to go Saturday morning. We had prepared all week. You know, I had talked to both Clemson and FSU. They test a little bit different than the SEC, but this week both Clemson and FSU had tested Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So the ACC allows you to kind of test when you want, but you have to do that Friday test, right? So this week, normally Clemson does Sunday, Wednesday, Friday because of their bye week coming in. They had done Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So after Wednesday test, we looked like we were okay. Everything's going good. Obviously, now the news out there, FSU hasn't had a positive since Coach Norvell back in September. So never thought that there could be an issue coming into this one at all. And then Saturday morning, I am in my car at like 8:30, 8:45 driving into the stadium when I find out what is going on, that this game is postponed. So I get to the stadium, I walk to the field, and there are numerous Florida State players in their suits and ties and everything walking around the field, just like you would completely see on a normal Saturday game day. So, which obviously they knew the game was postponed, but they were still there walking around. So yeah, certainly one of the most bizarre things that I've ever dealt with. And you know, Trevor Lawrence hadn't played a game in 28 days. This was going to be his first game in 28 days. So you can imagine, you know, his disappointment in not being able to play this game.
Don, help us understand it, if you know it as well, about where the ACC stood in all this, because as the reports were coming out, it was about that both medical teams from each school, they could not come to an agreement to play. Are there not ACC standards or protocols that are already set up by their medical staff in which they can make the decision instead of it making it look like FSU said, no, we're not going to play? Where was the ACC in all this?
Yeah, there absolutely are standards set and put into place and protocols put into place, and all of them on the surface were met by both teams. So I think that's where the ACC stood on that all of that was met. But here's the deal. I mean, I guess, could they have sent out a different press release and maybe it didn't kind of turn into this, I guess. But at the end of the day, this is a virus, a pandemic. If there is a medical staff, if there's a team that doesn't feel comfortable with putting their kids into that situation, what are you going to do? I mean, in college football, as a conference, you're not going to make them play that game if there is a reason that their medical staff feels that it's not safe. And let me give you the background. The whole thing is disappointing, obviously. But let me give you the background for Florida State, because I had the opportunity to talk to Coach Norvell for a while on camera and off camera after all of this happened on Saturday. And he pointed out, first of all, they haven't had a positive, right, since September. Also, they have been so careful. They did not let their players leave during their bye week because they wanted them on campus and safe and not exposed, all of that. They had two defensive linemen that had opted out heading into this season. And once they saw how careful FSU was, all the protocols, the extra safety measures that they had put into place in their football program, they opted back in because they felt that comfortable about what was going on at FSU and basically what they were doing to make sure that their players and everybody around them were safe. So this has been something for FSU that from the get-go they have felt was really, really important. So that played into this decision clearly by the medical staff. So yes, the ACC has those protocols and those standards that have to be met, and they were in this case.
All right, Dawn, so based on your conversations with FSU's coach Mike Norvell, and aside from the COVID, what did you sense as far as where he was when he took this program over? The results have not been great. You've had a couple of wins, one surprising against North Carolina. Is it fair to say this is where he thought it would be? How did he describe where this Florida State program is right now today?
I think that probably when he walked in, it was in a different place than maybe he initially thought it was before walking in. And let's be honest, I think you hear that from first-time coaches that are taking over programs that historically have been top great programs. Look at Tennessee to kind of tie in the SEC with that. I think you could probably name two or three of the last head coaches there at Tennessee that have walked in and thought, okay, I knew that it was going to be, a project for me to turn this place around, but I didn't realize really where we were from that standpoint. I think that's probably where Mike Norvell was when he walked in to FSU from a depth standpoint and talent standpoint, all of that. I think he knew that he was going to have his hands full. He knew this was going to be a project. I don't think he really knew the extent of the project from that standpoint until he walked in there. And he pointed out to us, he's like, look, these kids have now had three head coaches in 4 years. Do you know how difficult that is from a scheme standpoint, from a buy-in standpoint? And he said, my standard's completely different. And we know this. Cole, I think you worked some of Mike Norvell's games when he was at Memphis. The way he practices, what he expects offensively from his teams and practice is kind of organized chaos. There's no standing around. And this is not a knock on any of the former coaches at FSU. It's just a different standard. And that's what he pointed out. He's like, now I'm telling these guys that they have to, adhere to even another different standard than they've had the last couple of years, again, in a COVID year where I haven't gotten to develop a relationship with any of them. And so I think this is only going to take time. And this is what he told his team when he walked in. He said, I cannot sit here and be like, you have to trust me. Just trust me. He's like, I can't tell them that. They've had three coaches in 4 years. I have to build that trust. I have to earn that trust. And so all I told them is just give me a chance to show you that you can trust me. Well, guess what? That's going to take time. So it's a project there, and it's going to be a project for him. But, the guys that have bought in, you've got a fifth-year guy in Emmett Rice, who I talked to prior to this, what should have been a game, and he's like, he's the guy. I have 100% confidence that he's the guy and he's going to turn things around. So it's going to take some time there at FSU.
What kind of reaction did you get from anybody involved with the Clemson football team before they actually left to go home?
Didn't get to talk to any of them in person. Didn't get to see any of them. I was already at the stadium. Obviously, they got the news when they were still at their hotel at breakfast. So didn't get to talk to any of them, see reaction, any of that. When I flew out later that day, they had come to the airport and they had flown out from, you know, one of the gates at the airport. And, you know, one of the waitresses was like, oh, yeah, they were really upset that they couldn't play, you know. So that's about all I got from a standpoint of knowing where they were. I will say this. I you know, we tried as a team to get a comment or get Coach Sweeney on camera. That wasn't going to happen on that day. And I think, obviously, you probably see why with the comments that were made, you know, what, 48 hours later.
Dawn, always great stuff. We appreciate you joining us, sharing your insights. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with friends and family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And I saw I'm sandwiched between McElroy and Coach Saban. So let me just throw a nice big war eagle in here on my way out. Thanks, guys.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
All right. It is Iron Bowl week. Dawn Davenport.
It's rivalry week. Come on.
That's right. Thank you. Dawn Davenport joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy drinking hard seltzer. Just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.